gonna break it down, break it down, break it down. Gonna break it down, break it down, break it down.
Chick, chick, chicky, check. What up, commentarians? We are back, and as you can hear, we got a few special guests in the studio today. So don't mind if you hear a little chatter in the background. You know, we got our little guy in here with us today. We're going to call him Tiny T, doing his thing. It's episode number 13. We took a little time off, and we had some things going on. You know, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. We had some presidential debates and all kind of other stuff. But, you know, B, what's happening? It's just me and B today, though.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. I'm on mommy duty today. Yeah. So that is our special guest, Six God in the building. Look out for his podcast coming soon as well. But I just been, you know, back to work, living my best life, doing my mommy thing, you know.
Okay, yeah. This is authentic podcasting right
indeed,
here.
Indeed.
I want y'all to know this is authentic.
This is also the first time that we have been in the same space since I joined the commentary crew.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. It is. First time we've all been in the same space. Tiny T's trying to get at me. So, you know, what's going on here? What's going on here? We were actually having a conversation, and we got another special guest today. I'm going to let her introduce herself because, you know, I would do her no justice whatsoever.
Absolutely
none. What's happening?
Normally when people say that, they don't know how I want to be introduced, so that was a good way to do that. But this is Jamie. Just Jamie.
She's being very humble at the moment. So where
I was trying to stall her out.
Yeah, it's cool. So where we are today, we are actually down at Kazi Society, which is Jamie's Black-owned, women-owned podcasting and co-working space.
Collaboration space.
Get me together.
Space. Yeah, okay, so my bad if y'all wanted me to do all that. I did not know. I'm sorry. I was trying to be humble. This is, I am the owner of Kazi Society, the only Black-owned collaboration workspace and podcasting studio in the state of Missouri. And collaboration as opposed to co-working, because we're about connecting people, making sure that people actually can partner up and collaborate businesses, ideas, and products. So we are more than just a space to give you a desk. We really are big and focused on making sure that whatever you're doing, we can find somebody else to connect you with to support you.
Okay. I mean, I said that I wouldn't do you any justice. So when I actually met Jamie back in like 2002, you was like a director at a child, some kind of children's program or something over on the west.
On the north side.
On the north. Okay. You know, I used to be all over. So I'd be that. This was, man, years ago now. So she was like, yeah, you know, I want to get him behind the mic and do this and da-da-da. So then, you know, fast forward from there, you still being humble over here. Where did you end up behind the mic, Jamie?
So when I met you on a remote. And I had already started working with Demetrius Johnson. And I was producing a sports talk show at the time that was actually on an AM station. It was on 1600 AM. And that was, had to be almost 20 years ago. I feel old. But, and that got me into a stint in radio during, really my specialty was sports and community affairs.
Yeah, so, you know, Jamie, ladies and gentlemen, should be joining us today. And
welcome to commentary.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be the guest. I'll be sitting back and chiming in where I feel needed.
I mean, everybody that has comments, don't think, you know, holler at Jamie too when it's over. Don't just holler at me and B, you know. Don't just talk to us because we getting ready to go in today. Matter of fact, we got a comment on our IG not too long ago from, I think it was Miss Kim. We were discussing, we have if you're familiar with the podcast, of course, we're doing a series called Money, Power, Respect, in which we're kind of addressing the separation between Black men and women. And this episode particularly, we were talking about, was it Megan Thee Stallion? and Tory Lanez. No. I was off. I don't know. I will have to go back and look at that clip. I'm so unprepared today, y'all. We got a special guest and everything.
No, this was the episode where we were talking more about the divorce saga of Dre and his wife. And then we had stepped into more of women financially holding a man down is where we were on that particular episode.
Yes, yes. I do recall. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Miss Kim, she decided to holler at me.
Shady.
And, you know, part of the story was this, y'all. So, you know, Kim says that it's hard to find a podcast where the men do not capitulate to the broad strokes the panel's woman uses to paint all black men. This right here is no different than what I've always heard in black podcasting, unfortunately. So I read over it and I thought about it. I didn't respond immediately. I wanted to kind of dig deeper and I actually wanted to listen back to the podcast. So that's what I did. And I let her know, you know, we appreciate your feedback. In response, the conversations between black men and women must be macro and not micro. Think of this similarly to racism. One being or opinion will never overcome teachings, behaviors, and actions instilled years upon years by those that have been desperately so wanting to oppress and separate us. Maybe you should ask yourself why the conversation is so similar across so many different platforms as opposed to insinuating black men are ceasing to the opinion of black women. We appreciate you listening and we hope you return. Kim replied, I'd rather ask whether you choose not to challenge a black woman who is bashing black women in the same fashion on your podcast. Instead of using specious examples, black male pathology of jokes being made on attention-seeking platforms like Twitter and Instagram, they'd cite divesters on the same social media who use terms like bullet bags to refer to black men and you who use the phrase, the police aren't killing y'all fast enough. I'm not even going to finish reading the rest because she lost me completely before I even got through this. And I don't think that really addressed the issue that I was addressing, you know, as far as keeping the conversations between black men and women macro. And I think I said on an earlier episode that I didn't really understand the dynamic of, you know, hey, you know, this can't be a singular thing. Oh, I love black women. I protect black women. I do this. You know, it just can't be because if, you know, think of it as the one white person in the room. Well, you know, I have that black friend and I'm out here and I'm marching and da da da. And it's like, yeah, but are you really putting on at the job? Are you really putting on basically everywhere you set foot for the fight, right? And if you're not putting that best foot forward, it doesn't really matter too much. So I'm not gonna really, you know, we got something going on here. I'm not really gonna go off into that too far. But Kim, we do appreciate you for listening. Feel free to holler at us anytime. And if you want to clarify that statement for me, hit me up. You know, hit me on the email or hit me on IG. You can DM me, whatever the case may be. So, you know, we're going to stay on topic. And
yeah, I had to look up what the word catapulate. Is that what that is? C-A-P-I-T-U-L-A-T. I didn't really know what that meant. That was a very big word that she used there. Cease to resist an opponent or an unwelcome demand. Surrender. I don't know that I find that you all do that to me. I think we have healthy back and forth. I don't think it's a fair assumption to disagree that because I have a strong opinion about something that has to do with being a black woman or how black men treat black women, that, you know, if you all necessarily agree, I don't see what the problem is. I didn't like it. And she never responded to my comment. So I guess she, you know, decided to cease and desist.
Yeah, I really don't have any issue with it. Again, you know, these conversations just can't be micro conversations. They have to be macro. And, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, I think that we'll get further along as individuals, even though I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime, but at least get it pushing, you know.
I agree.
I'm with that. I'm with that. Jamie, you have any input? I didn't finish her response.
Because it didn't make sense. And like I said, I responded to her.
What was your response to her?
So my response to her was, first and foremost, thank you for being a loyal listener and choosing to continue to do so despite your thoughts on some of our conversations and opinions. Help me better understand how my thoughts regarding a specific situation were blanket statements regarding all black men. As it pertains to my co-host, I don't think they conform and go with my flow simply because the subject is touchy. However, when reparations are needed, it seems that is the case. Two black men can't speak on behalf of all, just as I can't speak in terms of all black men. She never responded after that. I think she was sick of the conversation.
Yeah, I think that.
How was she sick of the conversation when she started the conversation?
She definitely did, but she never responded. When you come to somebody and you challenge what they have said, when what they've said doesn't make sense, they're not going to return.
Nah.
Mm. I don't think. I think sometimes people, when they're listening to podcasts or listening to conversation, they're expecting things to go a certain way. So when they don't go that way, they, make it about what they had going on in their head. And
right.
I think that's probably what that was.
I agree. 100%.
Well, I'm just going to jump into it. I mean, we're going to stay informed. We were having a conversation before the mics came on, and we were talking about gold diggers.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own views and opinions, and the thoughts and views that are voiced here on commentary are of my own, Alan, I, and not any of my associates, affiliates, or my employer.
Ditto.
This I don't even know where the term originated from, came from. Who said, hey, you a gold digger? Did this come from the great gold rush back in the day, or what? I mean, this goes back to the beginning of the time, right? You can whatever book you believe in that's higher than us, right? The man that had the most sheep, he had to play. He had the most play, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, this was the barter system. Because at that time, sheep represented status or you were able to feed the fam. You had some way, shape, or form of being able to take care of people, right? I think my issue current day is that this conversation now has become a thing of convenience. It's simply, black women are more educated than they've ever been. They're making more money than they ever have. They have more companies. They have just more, period, right? And my philosophy is, your mom and daddy didn't send you to get all these paper degrees for me to pay all these bills in the new millennium. The cost of milk and gas is up there.
And I don't know if it always the term fits. I'm going to just read you the definition of gold digger. It says, a gold digger is a person, typically a woman, who engages in a type of transactional relationship for money rather than love. When it turns into marriage, it is a type of marriage of convenience.
Mm.
So I think if people really knew the term, they probably wouldn't use it so loosely, because I've heard the term. I've heard people use the term. I've had people say it to me, and I think sometimes people really just don't know what they're saying.
I'm
an open book, so feel free.
I'm gonna let B go for the time being, because she has a special person that is a frequent listener of ours, and that's what he's deemed her.
Yeah. So a few episodes back, when we first started talking about money, power, respect, we gained a fan. I won't even say we. I'll probably say me. And so he decided that I was a gold digger based off of, my thoughts and opinions on the conversation. So every episode since then, it's been, Harlem is a gold digger. Harlem is a gold digger. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But if you knew, the pedigree of what I was married to, you would have completely different thoughts of me. And it is not my desire to explain myself to people, But one thing that I am not is a gold digger. I know what I bring to the table. I've said this before. So I think if I'm able to, if I want someone who is either able to provide more than I can provide for myself, that doesn't make me a gold digger. It doesn't make me an opportunist. It makes me a woman who knows what she deserves, like, period. And I think, like you said, Jamie, too many people use the term loosely because they really don't know what it means. And a lot of the times, I'll just put it out there, the people who call women gold diggers are broke.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I feel.
I think a lot of times people, especially in today's society when you have social media and everything, is people feel like it's an open book and they think they're seeing people as an open book. They want you to explain to them how you have achieved something. How did you get this car? How did you get this house? How did you get into this zip code? I remember one time it was a few years ago, and I said something about I have to go to work. And somebody was like, girl, you don't work. I was like, I've always worked. What are you talking about? And they were like, you know you stay at home. I was like, no, I actually don't stay at home. I did go through a period of being a stay-at-home mom, and I was grateful enough to be able to still send my son to for childcare, but I historically, a majority of my life, I have always worked, but I don't ever discuss work on social media. Mm-hmm. It's not something that really comes up in conversation because my work doesn't define who I am. And so this person really thought, I guess I was just sitting at home being taken care of.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though. Like you said, it's the assumption and the assertion of others' own thoughts and opinions of what it looks like your life is to them. So you have a nice car. Oh, you must be married to a very rich man, or you must don't have a job.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not messing with y'all.
Welcome to the Black Versation, Jamie. But yeah, that is, no. You know, that is the thought around certain things. And like I said, I don't owe it to anybody to explain my situation, but yeah, if people knew the pedigree, they'd be like, oh, Harlem is far from a gold digger.
We know a man paid for that.
She literally married for love.
You married. Maybe he was a gold digger. Sorry.
Because men can be gold diggers, too.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay.
I wholeheartedly agree.
They definitely can.
Because I've seen these. Listen, they out here trying to get the come up, too.
Yep.
They out here trying to get somebody to pay for their beer management. Like,
I was trying to get somebody to pay for my son's childcare back in the day, so, you know. And
did it work?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Oh, it
but,
worked.
It definitely did.
I still owe his previous childcare provider some money, but this was years ago.
Listen, let me tell you.
But I was good for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, you could. I think it's one thing to have standards and to desire, you know, a certain level of a lifestyle. That doesn't make you a gold digger. You know, I've had somebody recently was like, oh, you know, that I'm seeing to offer, like, my wife doesn't have to work. No, I would like to spend my own money on the things that I want to spend my money on, like my children. I don't feel comfortable spending another man's money on children that are not his. Does that make sense?
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you in a relationship with this person?
Quite possibly. I could be.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, if I enter into a relationship with you and you care about me, what comes with me is my family. And if you have children, that entails that. I'm not saying you need to pay the same amount as child support or you're responsible for daycare, tuition, or whatever it is. But I think that if we go out to eat, I would ask you not to put my child on a separate ticket.
Well, of course.
I mean, so, you know, like, my men out there like that, I don't want to tag one of them when y'all put this episode up, but go ahead.
So trifling. So my idea, like, around that conversation was, he was like, you know, I don't want my wife to have to work. You know, she can literally just take care of the home, you know, handle my check. That's how I was raised, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And my response to that was, that's all well and good. I'm fine with spending your money, but I also would like to continue my career to be able to do certain things for my kids with my money. And he was like, okay, I get that.
That's great. I mean, I think now I was provided the opportunity you know, through hard work to not have to work. When I made a move during my marriage. And I think the only reason I really went back to work, because I was like cooking and cleaning, I didn't realize I couldn't get a maid and like meal prep if I still stayed at home. And I don't want to be that kind of stay at home wife. Like I want to stay at home, but I don't really want to do the cooking and cleaning.
So what
well.
You're saying is you don't cook, you don't clean, but you can show them how you got that ring.
I can show you how I lost it too. I mean,
hey, man.
It goes. Hey. No, I'm being serious. Like, this is the thing. I think, you know, people tease, and especially, you know, Cardi did the whole song and now they're getting divorced. I think I don't really think you can cook and clean. None of that really gets a man or keeps a man. But no, I'm not a chef. I actually had never cooked a dinner until I think after I got married. I had never like even purchased meat before. I had never purchased ground beef in my life, like or chicken.
So, how the hell you was eating?
Out.
So
I had never cooked. I cooked breakfast food, but I had never cooked dinner, no.
So were there gentlemen taking you to Ruth's Chris and things of that nature?
At the time I don't believe Ruth's Chris was here, but I ate well. And you know,
you was at Shoney's.
Definitely. I mean, I tore up Shoney's in the '80s. Don't hate, but no, I ate well. Like I never, and I always worked, so I always had enough food. I always had enough money for food. But yeah, I didn't. I mean, I cooked, you know, a little thing, but I never cooked meat. I had never purchased meat.
I think that
I know that sounds shocking, but I'm not really ashamed of it. Like, I mean, I don't really care.
I mean, I personally cook and I enjoy cooking. My lady now can cook, and she's expanding on her her menu items.
She going up from that chicken Alfredo. I see you, sis.
She no longer cooks tilapia.
Ironically,
okay?
We're having chicken Alfredo today, but I think for me, you know, like the cooking and cleaning, I'm not very traditional in household roles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't get it twisted. Like, I'm not finna be out here with the apron on and all that, like, kicking it with the feather duster, bro. Like, that's not what's getting ready to happen. But I think for me, you know, I think that, and this just goes for everybody, just do what works for you.
Well, I think I did what worked for me, and mm-hmm. I knew that when I started a family, I wanted to be able to cook, so I got cookbooks. I have, you know, the best kitchen equipment, and I learned how to cook. I wasn't, like, proud. I wasn't like, hey, I don't cook and I don't clean, but I'm going to get this ring. I wasn't going around like that, but it wasn't something that I was interested in doing. But, yeah, I cook now. Bren, you've had my cooking. I can jam.
I've only had your corn.
Girl, you have had more than my corn on the cob. You love my corn on the cob, but you have had, like, I jam.
Yeah.
Like, I cook for, like, 40 people at a time sometimes. It's
so
nothing.
So would we...
Outside of the holidays?
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I'm known for having a good house gathering.
Mm-hmm. So would we say that, like... So do gold diggers do things, like, domestically, or are they really in it just for the money? So they don't do things that are domestic.
That's not true.
That's what I'm asking.
A gold digger is about getting into a relationship for a transactional purpose.
Okay.
It is them pretending or learning to love this person for money or for benefit.
Okay. So it's not real for the most part.
I don't think it's not always real. I think sometimes people enter into relationships for money, but it grows into love. I think people, the same way some men go into relationships with women because they are interested in what that woman represents. Okay. They're interested in what that woman can do for them, whether it be business, whether it be adding some common sense to their life, some stability. It's the same thing. And they're not called a gold digger, but it can become transactional for them as well.
Okay.
So does gold digging go beyond monetary things and material
things? Oh, absolutely.
Things?
Absolutely.
What else do we need to throw in there?
Benefits. What are the perks? Mm. What are some of the perks? You could be dating somebody, because they have access to free airline tickets. You could be dating somebody because maybe they can help you elevate in your career. You could be dating somebody because they're giving you a discount on a car. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of different things. It's not always monetary.
So is gold digging also considered to date someone for, I guess, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A statue and reputation. So they are somebody.
That's
and
trophy.
By dating them.
That's being a trophy wife or husband.
Okay. Is that considered a gold digger also?
I mean, I used to have chicks that used to deal with me just to get into the club and stuff. So, like.
You'd be surprised. They'll give you some to get into a backstage on a concert. They'll give you some to get up to the front of the line of the club. It's true, right?
It is true.
It's definitely true.
We're laughing about it, but it's
true.
That's a transactional relationship. Yeah. I think that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. It is. Those were some golden days. You know,
this is true.
I've always been blessed to just always get what I wanted. So I've never had to go to somebody. I didn't need anybody to elevate my career. I didn't need anybody to elevate my status in a city. But, you know, I've definitely elevated some.
So I think, too.
Y'all know who y'all are.
A lot of people, I would say women mainly, are afraid to possibly level up as far as, like, the type of person that they date. So if they go from dating a person who didn't have much to now deciding, you know what, I want to date somebody that has something going for themselves, has money, has a career, out of fear of being seen as a gold digger. I'm one of those people. Like, I don't feel like I want to be labeled as such. It's possible that I could be looked at, especially considering this one individual. Like, it could be considered like, oh, she's just in it for the money. And that's really not the case.
You did that.
So you do want to be not in love and broke? I mean, what's your other alternative? No, I'm just serious. Like, if this is somebody you're feeling.
Right.
And they happen to have a certain amount of income. And they have a certain amount of stability and status in their industry or this community, you're going to not date them, miss out on an opportunity of love because you think you're worried about what somebody else thinks?
I am a little bit fearful, just a little bit. Not that and most of the time I don't care what people think. That's why I end up, you know, being with somebody who's broke. But, you know, so isn't that weird? That's strange.
I don't really care what people call. Like, I've listened to people, and you know this. Like, I don't argue when people come up with an opinion about who I am. Most of the times, I don't even respond because it's goofy.
Yeah.
Like, it's goofy. Who cares if you think I'm a gold digger? You think I'm a gold digger while you're living in a studio with your four children, like,
ma'am,
what your opinion? Your opinion doesn't do anything for my life.
Why would you do this?
You invited her.
You asked me to come.
Invited her. I did not, because I know better.
More guests to come.
I'm just saying, like, you worried about what somebody else says, and they're hiding their car at their friend's house,
or
they're potentially homeless.
Good day.
Good day.
We don't talk about that.
We definitely do.
We definitely do. We talk about it.
You're gonna be Manny's next victim.
Yeah, you. I don't care.
Manny is coming for Manny from DC.
Her name is Jamie.
Holla at Jamie, Manny.
Manny, come with it. Do what you gotta do.
Man, where's Daryl? We need Daryl. You know Daryl would have got in this already.
He definitely would have jumped in.
You know, Daryl, come on. Hey, wait a minute.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you gonna let a chick that's, you know, comfortable in a relationship where she's unhappy dictate what your next move is? That's silly.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that there's gold digging it's become this term, this cliche term now. Oh, you know, the girls that only, you know, the one of the big things, right, we always say, you know, the D-boys get all the action, the scammers get all the action because they got the bread, so they get, you know, nice guys finish last. I'm out here, you know, going to work every day. You know, there's the meme with the dude dressed up like the clown, like I'm getting dressed to go to work, and people out here scamming, you know, hustling, da 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 da. And it's like, we sit back and we let, as guys, and I'm not just saying, it's probably not just a me thing, because this is a complete and total joke everywhere, right? We sit back, we be like, man, would she really be rocking with dude if dude didn't have no bread? Like, would this really be a thing if dude ain't had no cake? Like, let's be real. Like,
yeah, I mean, it is true that oftentimes a lot of women will overlook Stanley that's down in the lobby before they will overlook, you know, the prime time who's, you know, it must be the money. Like, of course. But I don't know. I don't know. We don't like Stanleys.
I'm Stanley in the lobby. I don't got no money. I'm broke, baby.
While we both, I wish y'all could have seen our face. We were like, ugh. No, I'm just kidding. I think also people mistake. I've dated some people who didn't have money but had potential, or didn't have a good credit score but were working but had a plan. I think for me that was more important than anything. Like, do you have a plan to change this situation?
Yeah.
I got into a, you know, over decade long relationship with somebody who, when I met them, they weren't making a lot of money. They didn't have the best credit, but, you know, with my help, I was able to change that for them, change their credit, help them, you know, invest more into their 401k, get them a second stream of income, and more than triple what their base salary was. But
hey, Jamie,
I mean,
well, I think the thing is too, and this goes for both men and women, there's a difference between being financially unstable at the moment and then also having a broke mindset.
Right.
Because people who have a broke mindset don't typically have the know-how or sometimes the desire to want more or want better, which is a problem. That's, to me, that is a problem.
Absolutely a real thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a real thing. That's a problem for me.
It's the other thing. If you're a gold digger and you're in a relationship with a person who is on the giving end of this transactional relationship, I don't know why that's such a bad thing. You think they don't know somebody is with them for money?
Mm-hmm.
They know before they got this money, they got nothing. And they know the type of people that are coming into their life with the money. I don't know. If that's what they're agreeing on, well, who cares?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I definitely agree.
Like, who cares that whatever the person's name that came after Obama, like, if they're in a transactional relationship, that's not for us to judge. He knows what it is.
Yeah. 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 I know who you're talking about. His name doesn't jump into mind, but yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's not one that works in my vocabulary, but yeah, they know they're in a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Alan, have you been in a transactional relationship with a woman?
I'm pretty sure I have.
I mean, like, have you intentionally,
like, have
dated
I been
a woman or pursued a woman who was financially strong?
So I think we talked about this, and so as far as my actual relationships that I've participated in, no.
I love how you said that you participated in, as far as like they could have been participating, but you weren't committed on your end. But go ahead, that was smooth.
I mean, but you know, I once upon a time, I did meet a cougar, and you know, it was kind of crazy, right? Like, I lay out the whole scenario, right? I talk about me on here. So, she was of another persuasion aside from us, and a lot of people don't notice. I used to work at a car dealership, so I would deliver cars, and pick up clients, things of that nature. So I go out to this house one day and meet this young lady. Well, she wasn't young, but I meet her, and she's like, well, yeah, you know, I have questions about my cars every now and then. Give me a call, you know, because I'm needing these questions answered. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, here's my number, right? So
so you went to answer her questions?
Look, I'm gonna tell you how she got me, right?
I saw a porn intro similar to this. Mm-hmm, I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. This is how they work. This is how that happens.
Like, I'm going to have some questions. Can you come over? And then they go over, like, what she have on when you got there?
So let's.
Why did y'all invite me?
I'm good. Y'all got
Alan invited you. I knew better.
So I'm going to make this story short because y'all don't need to be all wrapped up in this. But so, the first time she called me, she was like, hey, I let my grandson use my car. And he changed all my settings in my car, and I need to get them back. Da, 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 da. I said, well, come up to the dealership. I'll take care of it. She's like, why don't you just stop by after work? So I said, okay, I'll pull up. So I get over there or whatever. And she was on it. So
she was on what?
Nothing happened at this point in time. But she made her intentions very clear. She was recently divorced. Her and her husband owned some type of IT company. He had left and gone to Chicago. Their daughter was up in Chicago. If her daughter's listening, she's like, oh, my God, mom. But anyway.
Oh, my God. This is like a good intro to a porn, but go ahead.
So she's recently divorced. Daughter's in Chicago. She's empty nester at this house by herself now. She has an older son. The son has grandkids that are here because they go to school here. And she's just chilling. So me and her, we had a fun summer.
Oh.
She was cool. She was cool, real cool.
I'm looking up the definition of fun. Go ahead.
A fun summer. Yeah, you got to go to Urban Dictionary for this type of fun summer. You remember Hot Boy Summer wasn't even born yet. It wasn't even that yet. So I pushed her whips a few times, all it like was out in front neck eating and I'm going to stop right there because.
Okay. You would not incriminate.
I would not incriminate myself.
Fun in the Urban Dictionary. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime and all down here in the deep blue sea.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay.
The fun. Deep blue sea.
All right.
Okay.
So
it's deep.
To answer the question, because I set up the scenario, that has been the only situationship that I actively pursued in which I knew. And I mean, she knew what it was. She was newly divorced. This might have been a fantasy she planned on her head or something. Like, who knows? A young black man just out here,
mm-hmm.
Who knows? I don't mm-hmm. know. But this was many moons ago.
Have you ever dated someone where they were digging you for gold or for opportunity? Like,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And were you willingly writing the checks or cash? I mean, it probably wasn't cash-apping it, but however you were doing it. Like, what was that like? And were you okay? You knew what it was and you were okay with it?
I mean, the most that I've probably done is a couple of road trips, some club access, and a few booths. I'm not getting ready to.
Yeah, that ain't digging for gold.
Yeah, right. I'm not.
See, that's right. The problem, that people think that that's not, I would expect that.
But that's your full intention in dealing with me.
Oh, that was their full intention of, yeah.
It was their full intention of dealing with me. So, you want to go on a road with me? I'm out with whoever. Like, come on.
I'm just not wasting a favor to go to a concert. Like,
I mean,
I guess if you broke, though.
But some women
are
be
you
on that.
Just on a budget. That's actually a good way to budget.
I mean, see, and the thing about it is, I forgot which Neo album it is, but he has the song where he talks about the girl that only calls him when it's time for the BET Awards or, blah, blah, blah. And you know good and damn well that this girl only is going to call you when stuff is popping off, right? She's going to get to where you going, and she's going to choose and pick and do whatever and maybe end up in the celebrity VIP or backstage. You know, she's used you to get there. And I'll be 100. It's happened to me. And I ain't telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know, like the old heads say, right? So it definitely does happen. And now that we're having this conversation, it's opening up. Yeah, I think it's more than a monetary thing. Maybe somebody is using you to put themselves in a different position or maybe to meet the actual money. You know, I've been on the road with Nelly, and I've had chicks tell me, like, what you need for me to get by him.
I could see that. I could see that happening. This is crazy, though. It's male groupies that do that, too. When I used to work around, I worked around sports. So I was always around, like, Rams players, whatever. It freaked me out, the things that men were like to get a signed jersey or to be able to just hang out with their favorite sports player. It's kind of disgusting.
It is. Don't be that guy with your phone up in the club taking pictures. Just don't be that guy, man.
It's
don't.
The worst.
Chilling with big bruh head ass.
Mm-mm. It's the Mm-mm. worst. Big thirsty.
So I was talking to my friend who's a DJ known, and he said that there literally are more male groupies that he has than there are female groupies.
I would totally agree. I would totally
He said that, like, agree. When he goes to, like, the mall or something like that, that literally more men approach him and fall all out and act the fool while he's just trying to mind his business than women do, which creates a stir because the women really aren't paying attention to, like, who he is, but the men know exactly who he is.
Hmm.
I don't get people that approach me. I'm not that popular. So. I'm sorry.
I get people. I think with social media, though, I get people that will come up because they see you maybe comment a lot on their friends or your friends comment on that. I can see that, and I don't take that as, like, oh, that's a groupie or that's a fan. I just take it as, like, oh, you want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as long as you're not, like, trying to invite yourself over to my house anytime soon, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I often wonder, like, because a lot of people don't associate me with my voice on a certain song unless they know me. So, you know, I often wonder, had I been in the video.
Can I get the rights to play that hook? I'm going to be able to drop that.
Yeah, hey, we you know who you are. They need to holler at us. So go on. Make the call, bruh. Make the call, bruh.
We making that happen this week.
Make the call, bruh.
I need a release form this week.
I often wonder, had I been, like, in the video and people were able to associate my voice with my face, would I have groupies?
I think that'd be a different kind of groupie because they would expect you to act out with what you were saying. Right?
I mean,
show me how you do it with no, like, I would
a more, like, disrespectful, I mean, type of groupie.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you're gonna be a groupie, like, I think there's also some purpose of, like, I wanna see it. I wanna see what you can really do.
I agree with that.
I mean, can you go dig for WAP? Is that a thing?
Can you go dig for WAP? Yep.
Go dig for WAP, okay.
Yep.
So I'm
a lot of times you're not digging for the first go round, which you can go dig on that second comeback.
I mean,
like, you'd have had it already, you know what it is, and you want to come back and
mm-hmm.
I mean, as a man, you know, you gonna pay for it regardless.
When you post the episode, tag me and I point out the people that's digging from their comments. I'm just kidding.
You're gonna pay for it.
No, I'm not.
Directly or indirectly, you're going to have to pay for the WAP.
Well, I don't think you're paying for it. I think it's also courting and paying for something. I think that's two different things. Courting a relationship and taking some time to make an investment into this relationship is not necessarily paying for it.
That's if you know. Yeah, that's if you know it's going to be a relationship. Absolutely. Or not even if you know it's going to be a relationship. I think that men and women know typically who they're going to deal with for longer periods of time.
Oh, like right away.
Yeah.
Immediately.
As soon as we do the case net check.
Yep.
Like, we know.
Is that a thing for real? Y'all do the case net? Oh, my God.
As soon as we get that first and last name.
More than that. I think we do more than that. I think I don't think if something comes up, it's always bad. I just want to have the information to better prepare myself.
And so when you see that protection of order from 98.
We leaving you right alone.
I'm just making sure. Okay.
Just going to ghost you.
No, I just know, you know, don't keep it on safety when I'm out.
Yep. Somebody has to, yep.
Just be ready.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot. I cannot.
I think you just have to be careful. I think, you know, relationships, everything is trial. Everything is trial and error. You don't know what you're about to get yourself into.
And that's the scary part, right? Like, just in general, because, I mean, you don't always know if a woman is after you for XYZ. And, you know, you always mean anybody's representative. You know, I saw a meme today. It said, boy, niggas be financially stable till you get to know them that third week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you meeting that person. And, I mean, we know that part of it is, you know, it's peacocking. I gotta show my feathers. Mm-hmm. If I'm a deal with you, and that goes for just about anybody. We know where the dust bunnies at. We know where they at. But
yeah. Normalize running credit checks.
I'm not ready.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. When I knew that that there was a potential for me to be in a long-term relationship with
absolutely
someone.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it was like, we talking about 2 weeks in. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't 2 weeks.
Moving fast?
No, we talking about, not really 2 weeks. I would say about 3 months in.
Okay.
Everybody's quick to say, oh my gosh, run an STD check and make sure. And you should do that.
Absolutely.
But you should also do a credit check. Yeah. And I think it's important to know that just because the credit check doesn't come back and they're in the 800 club, or they're not even in the 700 club, heck, they might not even be in the 600 club. You just need to know what you're dealing with and know what is expected. And maybe that's just a conversation. They can have better financial literacy. A lot of times it may not even mean they're in debt. They just may not have the credit.
They could be financially illiterate. Yeah.
They may just be financially illiterate and not have the credit that you would hope they would have. But I don't think it's anything wrong with doing it. And I did that, we talking a dozen years ago. And when I was having a conversation with somebody, they were like, why would you do that? And why would he let you? I'm thinking, if you want to marry me, like, why would I enter this without knowing?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
And it's not like I had somebody run, and I didn't run mine. I ran mine, too. Like, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that. I mean, actually, it's crazy. I knew a guy that was worth a few mil on paper, but his credit score was horrible. But that was because he paid cash for everything. So, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, bro. I asked. I ain't going to even front. I was like, bro. He's like, man, I pay cash for everything.
I told people. I think I was telling Brandon's story. Like, I had excellent credit a decade ago. And then I stopped. I didn't have to pay for anything. I didn't have my name on a lot of stuff. I didn't have any credit cards. I don't really have any bills in my name. And so my credit score dropped.
Dropped, yeah.
But it wasn't that I didn't have cash. I didn't have assets. I just didn't have any good credit.
We're going to talk about credit on the next episode.
Right.
Find a credit expert.
Yeah. Ooh, you got to get the broke black girl.
She sound like she cost.
I was going to say, her. Does she cost?
She might. I mean, but she be good.
Okay.
We don't have sponsors at this moment, so it's possible that we can't.
Yeah, you're at a collaboration space. You're at Kazi Society.
Look, we don't have Shad take her out for a good night.
No.
Shad, you got to go dig for us, bro.
We don't even know where Rashad is.
Where is Rashad? Shad, what the hell, man? Where are you, bro?
We don't even know where Rashad is.
Where are you, man? You pop up in my Facebook comments and my Instagram comments occasionally, bro, and you don't return text, dog. Yeah, where are you, man?
This is kind
of... Missing, like Phoenix Cold and missing? Like, he for real missing or not?
He's back to work.
Okay, so.
Yeah, Shad is back to work right now. So, we love Shad. Shad's missing today, and I'm sure you all have noticed. We're putting out an APB on Rashad, on Shadism. If you see Shadism, tell him to get with the commentary crew immediately.
Yep. If not, we're just going to have a bunch of guest co-hosts.
Yeah, and I'm bringing Jamie back.
That's cool.
I'm bringing Jamie back.
I think that's a good look for us. It's cool. We'll see.
I'd be welcome. I'm officially opening up the space. You guys can come down to Kazi seriously and record anytime.
Well, considering the fact that I have a membership, I think we're good to go. So I would encourage a lot of people to, you know, who are trying to get into podcasting to get themselves a membership, you know. So, Alan, I'm going to also, you know, kind of implore you to start producing my podcast as we continue to branch off, you know. So we're going to spend a lot more time together.
All right.
So people will get less familiar with seeing our faces and more familiar with hearing our voices on, you know, the podcasting platform.
I'm not trying to be shady here, but when you said he would start seeing your face, he looked a little traumatized.
I know.
Did I? I don't know. I was a man, Tiny T, sitting over here.
People are so used to seeing us because we also, you know, Daryl also records when we do our podcast.
I feel like you guys show, like, literally this could be a Showtime show.
You know
everybody knows, like, I'm obsessed with Bodega Boys. They started out on a podcast. Now they're on Showtime with Desus and Mero. You watch them?
Yeah.
I totally feel like you all would be great on Showtime, HBO. I don't know. Viceland has a bad track history. But
I don't know.
Whatever. I feel like y'all could do this.
I appreciate it. I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? Like, the way we came together, right, the pandemic brought us together. We've been rapping about doing this for so long, but the pandemic is actually what manifested everything. So we took the opportunity of, you know, sitting at the crib and like, hey, we need to be able to do X, Y, Z. We don't really sit in the same rooms. And while we know each other and we end up in the same spaces, we don't kick it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
That's what makes it fun, though.
You think so?
You think, okay, do you think Charlamagne, Angela Yee, and Envy, they out there kicking it together?
I know that, so insider information. I know that Yee and Envy are cool, but they don't really rock with
Charlamagne. Yeah.
No comment, because I don't need another Dobie ending up saying something in his book or nothing. So.
Yeah, just relax.
Simmer down.
But, yeah. So I definitely, we've known each other for a while, and we haven't, like, hung out in the same
I think
spaces.
That what makes it fun, because you guys, a lot of times when people become, like, super close friends, they try to, like, tiptoe.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I don't want to say that, because I really know what's happening. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, don't get too close. That way, if you say something, you don't really know you disrespecting them or offending them.
Yeah, our conversations, I think, are... You don't have to feel bad when you go home. Our conversations are very... I think we have very candid conversations on this show. We're afforded the opportunity to say things and, you know, have conversations where we're familiar with each other, but we're not familiar with each other's true opinions and thoughts. Because me and Alan don't sit and have cocktails on Fridays and cocktails and conversation. So...
I think that would open it up a little bit more, like, I mean, like, not being tight, but, you know, like,
yeah,
like, bro, somebody got their Dodge Charger outside.
Right.
That's why the street shut down now.
Okay, y'all, Washington.
Oh, man, bro, y'all got to stop. St. Louis look a mess downtown right now. Y'all got to stop, man, and they done blocked off everything. Because y'all be driving y'all race car family sedans down Wash Ave going 1,000 miles per hour, man.
I'm
y'all
sorry, what kind of race car do they have?
Family sedan race cars. Dodge. Hey, I'm mad at Dodge. I ain't even going to front. How the hell do y'all put family sedans with race car engines and make them financially attainable? And these cats are out here. These dudes was out here crashing their Impalas. And you going to get them sports cars with race car engines?
It is kind of silly.
I could go get approved for a Charger or a Challenger today.
It just seems kind of like weird. Like, I don't know why you racing either. Like, it's a guy that goes on Twitter and he posts his races all the time. And I'm thinking, like, with his face and all of that. And he's probably part of the reason why Washington is set to shut down.
I mean, it's a swinging contest. You know, these guys get out here and they... They want to cut it up and peel out and make smoke. And they peacocking. Women go dig for cars. They peacocking.
And they going back to their girlfriend's studio with them kids.
Do we go dig for cars?
Cars are a thing. Yeah, cars are. I'm going to tell y'all a true story. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't remember what year this was. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I drove down from St. Louis. I had rented a Toyota Camry. So I get down to Atlanta. I'm kicking it the whole weekend. I'm out having fun. Met a young lady at the club. And me and her, we vibing. We cool, right? End of the night come around. I'm trying to rap with her, get her back to the hotel. And, you know, hey, I'm just, this is me, okay? This is me. Where I leave off? Trying to get her back to the hotel. No, I'm playing. So I hear some loud pipes coming down the street. I'm like, oh, man. So brother pulls up in a drop top red Ferrari. And those eyes immediately left me. And went to that car. So when I saw her toes turn toward the car, I said, hey, baby, it was nice meeting you. I'll talk to you later. Because what I'm going to do in the Camry with the Ferrari? What I'm going to do?
He rented that.
I was just going to say.
It's weird. Okay.
He did. I knew that.
It's a true story.
I knew that.
I was driving down I was driving down Lindbergh. This was a few years ago. And I was driving, at the time, my husband's Range Rover. And it had his, they assumed it was a male driving. It was completely tinted out, but it had his fraternity tags on there. And somebody followed me, got up to the driver's, side window, and legit was trying to holler at me.
Was it a girl?
Yes. Stupid. It was a girl, and I rolled down the window, and they was like, oh, I thought you were. And I was like, you did not. Go on, scram. I mean, looking back, it could have been somebody who was dating. I don't know.
So again,
okay, I'm sorry.
I would, you know, I asked this same friend that I've been speaking about because he has a few cars, and I asked him. I said, "Do you think that you would get as much play as you do from women if you drove a Honda Civic?" And he said, "Yes." And I completely disagree with that.
A hatchback Honda Civic or a four-door?
Whatever.
No, because that's important. That's important.
Nobody is hollering at anybody driving a hatchback.
I like the five-door
Civic. I want to say something, but this person going to know who I'm talking about. But I did used to holler at a dude, and he had this certain car. But if I say it, everybody going to know who it is. And it was still, we rocked it out. I ain't even care.
It was a Fast and a Furious.
It was like,
don't even do it. Don't do
slow
it.
Slow and the low. But if I say the car, like, I don't want to disrespect they whole life.
Don't say it. It's okay.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I can't. Hey, listen.
It's okay.
On that note, it's time for us to go. You know, Jamie, we appreciate you for
thank you guys for
coming on
me.
Today and allowing us to use the space for sure. Kazi Society. Yeah. Make sure you holler. Sign up for a membership here, and B, tell them where to holler at you.
As always, I am the Interrupted Black Girl on Instagram. I can also be found at blackgirlsinterrupted@gmail.com.
Jamie, where can they find you?
You can find me at Kazi Society on all social media networks at KAZI Society.
I am Alan I. All my social media handles. I am AlenEye. No hashtags, no nothing, no underscores. Just that. Make sure that you all tune in for the next one because I think we're going to try and talk about credit. Jamie really got that kind of going in me.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to talk about some credit on the next one. If y'all see at Rashadisms, tell him to holler at us, okay? Right. Okay. And Daryl, where are you, man? We Daryl, you know, I rock with Daryl. Daryl got a lot going on.
We definitely appreciate Daryl in the Straight Outta Low Cash Network for sure. And I definitely appreciate everybody that's going to listen to this podcast for being very understanding of the fact that I am a mom first and foremost before I'm anything. So, you know, like I said, look for Six God Podcast coming soon.
Yeah, shout out to Tiny T in the studio.
No kid policy coming up soon.
Yeah. Hey, yo, commentary, black cop, blah, 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 commentary. I can't even talk.
See, mommy, I think it's just time for us to just
intellectual black presentation. Episode 13. We'll talk to you soon. Make sure you get at us on the email. Make sure you holler at us on Facebook. It's the Commentary Podcast Discussion Group or commentarypodcast@gmail.com. You all take it easy. Enjoy your week. Don't let the presidential debate stress you out. And if you out here gold digging, be the best gold digger that you can be. Peace.